defeated in Ohio State last Saturday, 54-21, as they prep now for conference play this Saturday at Sam Boyd. Two straight home games coming up, including this one against the San Jose State Spartans. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great. Good to be here. It was a lot of traffic there today. It was tough.
Yeah, well, you breezed right in.
Yeah, exactly.
So it says Tony's catching his breath now. Caleb, what's up, man?
Oh, nothing much, man. I got caught a little bit in that traffic, too, but everything's been good since we got back from Columbus. Just enjoying life back here in Vegas, ready to get some home games under our belt, getting conference play, and enjoy the Rebels on this season.
And I know Caleb's looking forward to our first commercial break because you just got served a steaming pile of outstanding chicken taquitos here.
Oh, my goodness. They're infamous. If you have not had them, get down to Born and Raised immediately and try these chicken taquitos. They're on the appetizer menu, but you'll be more than satisfied with them.
Nailed the steak salad earlier, which is also always a good call. And the artichoke. How many sports bars have artichokes?
I don't think very many. I venture to say none, but
artichoke's pretty good, though.
Oh, it is. It is.
Oh,
yeah.
It's outstanding. I mean, you see spinach and artichoke dip all over the place.
That's
but
right.
The regular artichoke, good. And with the drawn butter, oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Legit. All right. Rebels in Ohio State. And first of all, Coach, there's a lot of talk about how the program can grow and how the younger players can learn from a game like that. What's your take?
Yeah, you're going to learn in every environment. You know, I mean, you know, again, you always go back to, you know, there's a lot of noise and a lot of things to talk about, you know, but really it comes down each game, every kid learns. They're getting better. Their career starts, you know, whether they're older guys or younger guys, you know, they're developing maturity. They're getting more game experience and, you know, so that was invaluable for guys like Armani Rogers to walk in that environment, handle the noise. We the first time we've done a silent count, you know. We were preparing for a real loud stadium, so we did a butt tap the entire time, and you know we didn't use any cadences. They executed that well, so if you ever need it again, that's in his bag of tricks. And you know we've had a lot of guys got a lot of experience. In as physical as they were up front, offensively and defense, that was the biggest thing. I mean they were so much more physical than most of the teams you're going to play, more so than most teams in the country. We learned a lot about what you need to do and how do you need to adjust and you know and re-scheme those things, and you know it kind of lets you calibrate your game a little bit.
Absolutely. As a fan, coach, and as a former player, I always look at those games on a schedule before the season starts, and you get excited, kind of a tense excitement about the opportunity at hand, you know, being the Cinderella story, so to speak, fans waiting to rush the field on the upset, stuff like that. But on the coach's side, when you look at the schedule and you see, you know, at the time, number two, Ohio State, as the third game of your non-conference schedule, how do you prepare for that mentally during the season, approaching that game on the season?
You know, it's one of the deals, too. When kids have been in the program for a while and they've been in some of those big games, obviously we hadn't played a number two ranked team, but we played other ranked teams. It's the same preparation. It's the same approach. It's the same messaging. You know, why would you ever preach that that game's any more important than the San Jose game? You know, it's not. It's just another game. Now, you also are very realistic about, you know, the superiority of that opponent when it comes to just college football. So you know that you're going to have to do some really good things. You're going to have to take some chances. You're going to have to create some turnovers. You know, there's some things that are going to have to happen to allow you to be in there. And, you know, again, you know, you look a year ago, and it was not quite the caliber of Ohio State team, but, you know, we played a UCLA team pretty well. Then you go into this Ohio State game, and tell you what, man, they gave us all we could handle that first half. I mean, they really jumped on us. But well, on the flip side, you look at the offense in that second possession of the game, do a pretty good job of marching down the field and getting yourself in field goal range, and then we don't manage the clock right. Great learning opportunity for Armani there. We were right there. We were hoping he was going to get the snap off. He didn't by about a second. Ends up getting a penalty. Next play, he gets sacked, and now we're kicking a 52-yard field goal, right? So we talked about that when he came out. You know, yell and scream, and I just said, hey, man, so look what just happened. I said, we drive ourselves down to a very manageable field goal situation, still have a chance to score a touchdown, and then we're not paying attention to the clock. We snap it a second too late, 5-yard penalty. Next play, we get a sack. Said if we eliminate either one of those, we got 3 points on the board. It's a 7-3 ball game right now. And, you know, he looked up and said, yeah, that's right. You know, you can throw the ball away, you know, if you're getting that rush, or all of a sudden, you know, you get up there and, you know, you manage the clock a little bit better. So those are things that young quarterbacks learning from and growing from, and we'll be a better team because of it.
Absolutely. I think you touched on it, that second drive, being able to get into some field goal range and get a productive drive. Also, the first drive, I think coming out for Armani Rogers, I was impressed by the way he came out the first drive. His first pass was a completion for, I think, 6 or 7 yards. Right off the bat, his first possession and a first in a hostile environment, Ohio State, 100,000 fans, for him to step up like that and the offense really to execute those first couple of plays in that drive and move the chains, I think spoke volumes to where the team is as far as their maturity level.
No doubt about it. I mean, they did a really good job. Like you said, you know, right away, first play, go ahead and let's do a play action pass. You know, get him loose, get him comfortable, and he did. And that's, again, I've said it over and over, and we're going to see this for a long time. He's just got such a great composure of himself. He never gets too high, never gets too low. He has a lot of confidence in himself, but not to a point where it's a detriment. I mean, he really knows he's growing and getting better every week. He really believes in his abilities, though, and he believes in his, you know, in his team. I mean, it was funny on Sunday. He called a team meeting. We have some time after they left, and then they eat, and then I go in and address them, and then we get going for the day. He called just unprompted by himself. He called a team meeting, got everyone in, and you know, and we found out about it later. And that's I was so excited to hear that.
Right,
I'm just like, good for Armani. Got the guys together and talked about what the needs get done this week, and that's what leaders do. But to have a 19-year-old leader doing that's pretty impressive.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to ask you, Coach, about your perception of Armani's aptitude, because a lot of times it's said that when a freshman player is nearing the end of his freshman year, he's really not a freshman anymore by the time that first season is wrapping up. Where is Armani now with regard to this stage of development when it comes to reading defenses and that level of sophistication?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I mean, I think there's the true freshman, and then there's the redshirt freshman, you know, and they're going to be a little different. I think that he's ahead of the curve for a couple of reasons. Number one, he redshirted, so he saw it. He didn't have that game experience. Until you see the speed of the game and different things were happening, you know, it's going to change. But he saw it last year, was involved in the game plans, traveled every game. That helped his maturity. And then just by the intelligence he has, because he's a really smart kid, and the way he carries himself, he allows himself to settle in. He's not that jittery guy. I mean, some guys are great players, but they're jittery. They're very anxious. They're kind of nervous type guys. And he doesn't really have that. He's got a cool calmness to him that really allows the game to slow down for him. So I think he's a little bit ahead of schedule. You know, there's a lot of football left to play. I mean, we'll see what all goes on. But I like where he's at. I like the questions he's asking, the way he comes in and prepares. I like the development of the leadership skills. Huge deal for a young guy realizing that I don't care how young you are, you're a quarterback. Quarterbacks run the team, you know. And for him to have that presence of mind to do so was a big, big deal.
Absolutely. I think after this game, I think the worry about his progression, talking about Armani, for me personally, the worry about his progression was that a game like this, so tough and, you know, where you're the underdog by any stretch of the imagination, you get beat up pretty bad, or a pretty, you know, a bad loss by any stretch of the imagination. And he, I'm sure, didn't perform the way he wanted to on that stage. The worry was that he takes a step back. You know, you shrink because of the moment. But to hear what Coach said about him coming in on Sunday, calling that meeting and getting the guys to, hey, focus back in and lock in for conference play, that to me says that he's still on track to progress the way we expect him to.
Second half of tonight's show, we have a little chat with the linebacker Bailey Leolagi, who will discuss a number of things about himself and about the team. And I asked him about what it's like to go up against Armani in practice when you're looking across the line, and he spoke very highly of his ability to read things and shift and do things on the fly.
Yeah, you know, again, you know, the team has a tremendous amount of respect for Armani, and, you know, Bailey's a sharp guy, been around a while, and, you know, Armani makes everybody better, you know, and you know, and I think Bailey is just kind of recognizing that, and, you know, and he's a talented kid, and he'll keep getting better. And I'll tell you what, you even go back to this last week in the game, when you watch the film, you know, as coaches, we know a lot more, and we see a lot more than people see when they're sitting there just kind of watching it in real time, and you go back and go, okay, why did he make that decision on those throws? And tell you what, he's the decision-making's there, his understanding of what's going on. It's there. We got to do a little bit better with the execution. You know, not having a run game hurt him a little bit. But, you know, the things Bailey's are talking about, I mean, he's just such a calm, cool kid. And when he makes a mistake, he wants to be coached on it. There are some guys, you know, they do something wrong and you immediately address it and you fix it. And, you know, they want to bow up and they want to kind of, you know, shy away from the coaching part. You do that, you stop growing immediately. You know, what's the old saying? You know, you don't grow until you reach a level of uncomfort, right? And he's okay being uncomfortable because he's hell bent on growing. And you know, as long as he keeps that attitude, he'll keep doing great things.
Just it's an entertaining speculation just to consider how he's going to be by the time he's a senior, considering how well he's
done
so far.
I'll tell you what, I'm worried about how good he's going to be this week.
Yeah.
We got to get this one right.
Just, you know, but you can't blame Rebels fans for thinking. You know?
No doubt about it. He's a special kid.
He's a real special kid. Well, the Rebels are going to take on San Jose State, and we're going to get to the coach's perception and calls to Caleb's on the Spartans coming up. But the Rebels, certainly the offense, and I understand that as you pointed out, Coach, the first half kind of lopsided. But the second half, as you pointed out in the press conference yesterday, one thing about the Rebels is they fought, and they fought right right to the final game.
100%. And that's what we expect from our guys. I mean, again, you're playing against a really good football team. And, you know, there was that one night, that 9-point stretch. It really made the first half kind of look a lot worse than it was. And it was, I mean, we were getting our tail kicked, let's face it, you know. And they're a good football team. There's some things we could have executed better. Should have had, you know, that three on the board to go with, you know, to go with the other one. But, you know, the guys fought. I mean, you're sitting there, how many times you watch a game when you're down and, you know, I mean, who's getting a strip on the one-yard line? A lot of teams are just folding their tents and letting those guys walk in. And, you know, Javon White had the pick six. And, you know, for the offense to come out right after half and, you know, and go to execute, you know, nice run. Lexington Thomas, again, did some great things. And, you know, we had an unfortunate block blow the way, so Lexington has 100 yards rushing in that game, you know. And so we did some really good things that just show that, hey, the guys at no point were they, woe is me, at no point were they, oh, man, this is embarrassing. They weren't embarrassed. They were playing their tails off, you know, and they keep doing that, they're going to be fine. I mean, there's a lot of teams that have played those guys this year and had a very similar, you know, result. We wanted to be better than those teams. We wanted to show a better performance. We were disappointed, but the message in the locker room was, hey, don't be okay with the loss. Don't be okay with the first half. There's things we got to get better and there's things we got to fix, but I appreciate the fight. You know, you keep coming to work every day. We're going to get you guys ready. Don't lose the fight. You don't lose the fight, you got a shot.
Absolutely. Even in the first half, talking about the fight and the resilience of the team, I think there was a couple of possessions where Ohio State had the ball in first and goal to go, and you forced two times, I think, in a row, took them all the way to fourth down, stop them on third and goal. In any other situation, that's a victory on defense
no
when you
doubt.
Start down there.
Now you're making them throw low percentage shots on fourth down, and they hit a good fade above Robert Jackson. Robert had great coverage.
Right.
Tim got a little out of position on that corner route, but it was actually three times where they went for it on fourth down. I mean, so they're not just walking in the end zone. And, you know, again, the biggest thing is we're building a program here. And I tell you what, it's that old saying, right? You know, the road to success is always under construction, and we're under construction. And part of this is just the maturity and you know, and, you know, again, recruiting players and developing players and getting a position where you can be more and more successful more consistently. The one ingredient you have no chance with if you don't have, and that's toughness, and that's just, you know, playing the game from whistle to whistle all the way through, and our kids don't quit. You know, as long as they keep that passion and that energy going, you know, we're going to continue to develop throughout the course of the year. We're going to get this thing going. We're going to have a good season, and we're going to have many good seasons to come. A lot of young guys running around out there learning as they go, and we're excited about them.
Absolutely. I think for fans, it's important to understand that, like you said, this is a journey, and along the journey, you're going to run into places where maybe you're not quite ready for it yet, but it's a part of the steps to get there, and it's important for the players and the community to understand that and learn and get behind it.
No question. Rebels and Ohio State wrapping up last week. We're going to take our first break right now, the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. We have a lot more coming up, including our chat with Bailey Leologhi. That'll be in the second half of the show, and much, much more to come. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on Learfield. Welcome back to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road here live at Born and Raised. Nice crowd here, and of course, if you haven't been in Born and Raised, we're on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, the home of the Rebels on the road, and the TV sets all over the place, every sport you can imagine, and I think they got ESPN Classic, I mean, almost every era you can imagine, too. And we talked about the food a lot. Food's great here. Folks are great. So swing on by anytime, but especially during the coach's show. And speaking of Born and Raised, you're invited to come watch the Golden Knights season opener. That's going to be October 6th here at Born and Raised. Fundraiser will benefit the Las Vegas Golden Knights Foundation. And we'll raffle off signed memorabilia, tickets to the games, and some good old-fashioned Knights swag. There'll be drink and food specials to welcome all Knights fans. UNLV specials include $3 draft Bud Light and Mick Ultra, $4 draft Kilt Lifter, and a $20 100-ounce Bud Light and Mick Ultra Beer Towers. NFL specials include $6 Jameson and Malibu, $6 Absolute Bloody Marys, no question. And then the 6th annual Wiffle Bar Tournament is October 14th and is 1980s themed. So sign up your 4-person team today on the app or the website, which is bornandraisedlv.com, bornandraisedlv.com. All right. Ohio State used J.T. Barrett at quarterback, then Dwayne Haskins came in. Did you see much of a difference in ability between those two guys?
No, and, you know, they really committed to throwing the ball. I know that had kind of the talk going in, you know, them, you know, finding a passing game to go with that, you know, with that run game. And they executed it really well. You know, I mean, they did a good job of distributing the ball, really stretching the field, you know, horizontally. That's really where they made a lot of their big plays was, you know, getting everybody out into space. And, you know, you've got to be able to create a pass rush without bringing extra guys against a team like that. And when you can't do that and they can stretch you out horizontally, they're going to find seams. And they did a really good job, but both those guys came out and executed really well. And, we tried to disrupt them. Got a couple of sacks here and there, but just not enough to really get them off base.
I think JT Barrett, I think, is one of the best quarterback that UNLV is going to face this season, hands down. And I think the composure that he had and the way that he was able to get that offense with the tempo to execute at such a high pace is something that UNLV is not going to see this year again. And I think it was a good learning experience for the team.
Yeah, you know, and one of the real beneficial things is they move, and they move fast. You know, in San Jose, one of the things that they do, and I know they're still trying to, you know, get things together, and, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen too fast for them, they go fast. I mean, they might go even a step faster than Ohio State. So having a game under our belt of seeing it, because a lot of people run a no huddle, but it's not a fast-paced no huddle. They're looking at the sideline. They're checking. It's about a 30-second in-between. So, you know, you call it NASCAR, but it's really not. Ohio State was really NASCAR, and San Jose is going to do the same thing, so that's going to really help. It's hard to prepare for that with scout teams and such, and so this week we're doing, and even last week we're doing a lot of, you know, ones versus ones, but you can't gash your guys, so they're about 16-play sets. So having a game under our belt, seeing that, subbing with that going on, seeing the pacing of it, getting the calls in, getting lined up, that's something that's hard to simulate, so it'll benefit us.
Absolutely.
What was the one aspect of the Buckeyes game that impressed you the most?
The defensive line. I mean, it's, you know, again, we talked about that. We knew it going in. The amount of bodies they have to roll in is pretty impressive. You know, you watch them before the game, and they're, you know, to be that athletic and that big and that long, I mean, it's a long group. You know, they're 6'3", they're 6'4", they're 6'5", you know, they're 265 to 280, and then they all have quick twitch to them, too. So that was really impressive. You know, it's probably, since I've been coaching college ball, by far the best D-line I've seen. And Coach Garrison, who's been around a lot, you know, he said that the other line that he saw was maybe as good as that was his senior year when he was at Nebraska, and, you know, they played that national title game, and he said that's probably the second best defensive line, if not, you know, close to him, that he's seen. So they were impressive. They were really impressive.
Like you said, the combination, I think, of size up front. I think we all knew the size would be there, but a lot of those plays in the running game early were backside pursuit up front. Big guys up front, maybe the initial point of contact was a stalemate, but the backside pursuit, the quickness and the pursuit of that defense was something that you just don't see on a week-to-week basis. Ohio State's a special team, and that to me definitely was the highlight too.
Well, and you know, when you look at them, you know, week in and week out, last year, this year, what they don't do is they don't give up rushing yards. I mean, I think they held their first two opponents. I think Indiana rushed for 30 yards. I think Oklahoma was 70 yards or something like that. And then, you know, you look at Army. Army did a better job, but that's what they do, you know. I think they ran the ball over 60 times that game, too. So, you know, for us, we kind of hang our hat in being able to run the football. And, you know, we end up rushing for 170. But those are hard yards, and there wasn't a lot of them in the first half. So, it also does. It gives you a barometer where you got to continue to grow. We've got a good rushing attack. We've got a, you know, good stable of backs. We've got a good offensive line. And guess what? We got to get better there.
Absolutely.
Second half, Lexington Thomas did find some daylight, and for the game, 12 carries, 91 yards, two touchdowns. One was a 55-yard burst that was another, I mean, we're almost getting used to it now, how electrifying he can be out in the open field. But in some ways, that first touchdown, what an athletic play that was.
It was, and the thing about it is with Lex is he has elite speed. We played an elite team, you know, with speed, and he was as fast. I mean, he's pulling away from those guys when he runs by. So, you know, again, get Lex into space, he can do some special things. He's done it throughout his whole career, and for him to have an opportunity to go on a stage and play against a team like Ohio State and to put that on film, that's really good for him. It does a lot for him. And, you know, we had some, you know, scouts asking about him today, you know, and that was really good to see. You know, you got a guy who's kind of smaller in stature, but he shows he's got that elite speed. He can do some stuff in the return game, possibly at that next level. And, you know, so I was happy for him, and, you know, not surprised. I mean, he's he's another guy who's kind of like, you know, I've told you this before on the show, he's got that kind of comical demeanor about him. He knows when to be serious, but he always keeps it a little light, you know, and I think when you walk into environments like that and you kind of have that lightheartedness to you a little bit, it actually benefits you.
I was going to ask, how was his response to coming in the stadium in that moment in that game? How did he respond to that big stage?
You know what? He did a good job. And if I'm being 100% honest, which, you know, sometimes I do to a fault, we had some guys that it affected that I didn't think it would. You know, obviously not naming names, but you know what? I kept, you know, downplaying the whole atmosphere, and some guys it looked like they were a little in awe. Other guys weren't at all. And, you know, Lex wasn't one bit. You know, we told him all week, the one thing you got to stop doing is that stop and go cut, because you stop against these guys.
Right.
It's going to get
right.
rough. And he took that coach into heat, and he did a really good job. And, I mean, he stuck his nose in there in pass protection. He did a really good job when he got the opportunity. And he never got frustrated, because early in the game, it was tough. I mean, you know, we're giving him the ball, and he's not getting much. You're getting stuff right there at the line of scrimmage. And he was fine. He came out in the second half and did a really good job. So it's good to see.
It was good to see.
In the absence of Charles Williams, I know that the Rebels have, going into the season, a fair amount of depth at the running back position. Evan Owens had some carries. It was spread out a little bit among some other ball carriers.
Yeah, you know, Campbell got in there and got a couple totes, you know, early on, and then we gave Evan a shot. You know, he deserved a shot, and I'll tell you what, he took advantage of it. Because, you know, you watch the film afterwards, you're going, here we go. You know, Evan's biggest thing is pass pro. You know, I mean, it when he gets that down, he's 100% sound. You see the way he runs the ball, and you see his size and physicality. But the biggest thing that coaches have concerns with is pass protection being 100%, because you got to protect that quarterback. And a lot of times that weak link in the protection ends up being the back if they're not 100% sound. So he's done a better job of it as of late. You know, we got him in that game. He ran the ball well, and I think that kind of salivated him a little bit. You know, he got excited. It's like, hey, I want this. I want more of this. And so we told him on Sunday, you want more opportunities, then become a dynamic pass pro. And, you know, and he's doing a good job this week.
That's right. Speaking as a quarterback, it is important for your running back to be on the same page with that offensive line and get that pass protection picked up. And like you said, it holds a lot of guys back. You see it on the next level. Guys lose their jobs because of that.
Probably the biggest thing that gets in the way of NFL backs. You see guys are like, well, why is he not playing? How did he not make it? Well, I tell you what, pass protection is probably, unless you're that 1% running back,
right,
it's more important than anything else.
Absolutely.
You do.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, I want to ask you about one other Ohio State player, and that's the freshman tailback, J.K. Dobbins. I mean, in your estimation, how good is he, and how good can he be?
He can be great. You know, their running back coach, Tony Alford, a good buddy of mine, and I talked to him before the game, and, you know, and he had some really, you know, neat things to say about him and his ability, and Tony's coached a lot of really good players. So we saw it on film going in. You know, they committed more to throwing the ball than they did running the ball, but he's a special guy, and I think when it's all said and done and, you know, he goes through his Ohio State career, I think he'll go down as one of the most dynamic guys they've had. I mean, they think very highly of him, and for a freshman to be starting there and for them to feel comfortable enough to give him the ball in a lot of games 20 to 25 times, that, I mean, it's, you know, they've had a pretty good group of running backs come through that university, and they think he's, you know, he has a chance to be one of the better ones.
He had one of the most special jump cuts through the season. He's done this a lot. He's become kind of popular for it. His jump cut and how quick it is and how far laterally he can move and then get right back into stride. He definitely showed why he's been considered one of the top backs in the nation this year.
Yeah, no doubt. I think I saw like this Heisman watch list thing the other day, and his name's on it. And, you know, he's pretty dynamic. I mean, he really, really is. He does some really good things, and he's just getting started. You know, it's funny because, you know, those guys are going through the same things that we are. The expectations are a little bit different, you know. They have to win national titles. Well, they're not going to win national title every year, but that's their expectation, you know. We're fighting our tails off to get in bowl games and, you know, and things like that. But, you know, he's a freshman too. You know, the same things we're talking about, Armani, that's what he's going through too. He's just doing it, you know, at a different expectation level. So for him to have the success that he's had those first bunch of weeks, to rack up the yards that he has, to do the things that he's done, you know, in big ball games and atmospheres, you know, I'm a big fan of his. You know, glad we don't play him again.
That's right.
Caleb, in your career, the best team that you went up against, Wisconsin, West Virginia perhaps?
I would have to say, because of what Wisconsin did that year when Russell Wilson came into the fold as a fifth-year senior, coming to that program that was already established, I think that was probably the toughest opponent that I faced personally. West Virginia is a close second, though. Boise State, obviously the number 5 team in the nation when we played them at Sam Boyd when Kellen Moore was there. But I would say Wisconsin, with Russell Wilson at the helm, was one of the most special teams just because of his leadership. And obviously their defense, their offensive line, and that running game. I think they had Gordon was there at the time as well. Melvin Gordon was there, and they pretty much had their way with us there in that opening game in Wisconsin, and that was probably my fanboy moment. Like Coach said, everybody has it when you realize that you're on a big stage. Being in Wisconsin, they had that, I don't know if everybody knows it, the jump around in the fourth quarter. The whole crowd stayed. The game was well in hand, and the whole crowd is still full attendance, sold out. They're there waiting for the jump around in the fourth quarter. And as the third quarter ends and we're going into the fourth quarter, the whole stadium, they're playing the jump around song, and the stadium's just jumping. Everybody, all the Reds bouncing up and down, the field shaking, you can feel it vibrating. And that atmosphere combined with the talent that they had on the field that year was definitely the toughest opponent that I played.
After this series of messages, we'll dive headlong into the Rebels' upcoming game against San Jose State, and that's coming up this Saturday. Kickoff at 7:30 against the San Jose State Spartans as the Rebels get set for conference play. In the meantime, we'll take a timeout. We'll also have our chat with Bailey Leologhi a little bit later on in the second half of the show. Russ Langer here with Caleb Herring and head coach Tony Sanchez, and this is Learfield. Welcome back to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Along with Coach Sanchez and Caleb Herring, Russ Langer with you at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. This was just popped up on my email here. UNLV senior quarterback Kurt Palandek is one of 71 FBS level semifinalists for the 2017 William V. Campbell Trophy presented by Fidelity Investments, as announced today by the National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame. The award recognizes an individual as the absolute best football scholar athlete in the nation. Kurt Palandek, of course, a junior college transfer out of Plainfield, Illinois, third year with the Rebels. He started a total of 6 games, and he served as the team's holder on kicks, and as a Rebel, he's passed for more than 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns, rushing for 675 net yards and 9 more scores. So this is quite an honor for Mr. Palandek.
Yeah, we're so proud of Kurt. He's a great kid. We actually both played at the same junior college. We both played at Laney College in Oakland, and he's a great kid. And he's got some memorable moments of his career. I mean, you know, the big win against Wyoming, him coming off the bench and leading us to a win against Reno, you know, a couple years ago. I mean, he's done some special things, and we're proud of him. I mean, he exemplifies what the student-athlete experience is all about. He comes in, he's selfless. You know, he won the Wiesner Award this year, and, you know, he's the first quarterback to do so. And, you know, and for a guy that's not a starter, to have the entire team and coaches vote him as that Wiesner Award winner, it's about courage and toughness and selflessness, and that's who he is. So, you know, it was, and he did a great job on Saturday. You know, we got down towards, you know, that latter part of the third quarter, and, you know, Armani was gassed, you know, and we looked at him and said, you know what, this don't make any sense. Let's pull him out right now. And we had a package in for Kurt, too. We felt like, okay, you know, let's keep building for the rest of the season, and you got to get your 2 quarterback in at some point. So we put a couple of plays in just to get him in, get him some rhythm, and then he came in later in the game and did a really good job, had some good runs, directed the offense well, and we couldn't be more proud of him.
Absolutely. I get a chance to watch Kurt during practice, obviously when Armani took the starting position, and really all of the quarterbacks, but Kurt in particular, his demeanor as a leader, even though he wasn't in that number one spot, even when I see him walking through the hotels before games, he has that demeanor, that kind of calm, cool, collected demeanor that people can look to as inspiration. And like you said, it is the quintessential characteristic of a leader and what this award kind of sums up in a player, and I couldn't be more proud of him to be in the mention for this honor.
Well, yeah, you know, and you're a Rebel, and, you know, an old quarterback, and he's part of your fraternity, and I tell you what, he's a great guy to represent it. And I tell you what, when he graduates and he's done, people in town are going to be fighting to get him on their team and working for their companies, because he's a winner.
That's right.
Let's talk about getting back home, Coach. This game will be the first time in 28 days Rebels will play at Sam Boyd.
It's been a long stretch, I know. So it'll be great. You know, our guys talked about that this week, too. So it's going to be good getting 2 home games in a row, you know, sleeping in your own beds, you know, throughout the week, and just playing in front of your crowd, you know. And we're excited. And I'll be honest with you, we're excited to get out there and get our crowd fired up, you know. And, you know, everyone walked out kind of a little deflated a couple weeks ago, and I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but, you know, that's a tough deal. And, you know, one of the things we take pride in is playing for UNLV, playing for the city of Las Vegas, playing for our student body. So we want to go out there and just give a tremendous effort and play some really good football on Saturday.
That's right, and it's a great chance opening up conference play, obviously, to re-spark the excitement that was left a little bit deflated after the last time we were at Sam Boyd. But coming into the first game of conference play with an opponent that is beatable and, you know, is in the conference and will play dividends towards a bowl game, Lexington Thomas and the rest of the offense being able to electrify and get some momentum back to the season, it's going to be a great opportunity this Saturday.
It is, and, you know, and we've got to really stay focused and take advantage of it. And, you know, the scary thing is when you get into Mountain West play, the thing that I've learned over the last couple of years is from the top team to the bottom team, the margin is so small. There's no gimmies, and that's true for San Diego State. That's true for Boise State. It's true for those teams, and it's true for the Rebels. It's true for the Spartans. I mean, it's funny the situations you find yourself in when you get into conference play. And, you know, and I think that's the nature of football. It's a physical sport. So you better have the right mind frame, because when you walk in, there is not a gimme, because that guy in front of you is trying to kick your tail. So you better be as committed to it as he is, because, you know, it'll play itself out. And, you know, and this, another thing, too, is they're a little dangerous this week. You know, you kind of wish it was a closer game last week. You know, you get a team, and, you know, I talked about it a little in the press conference, but a lot of fans don't, you know, they probably didn't watch the game. And there's a stretch where Utah scores a touchdown, right? And then on the next kickoff, San Jose muffs it, Utah recovers and scores a touchdown. And then on the next possession, they block a punt and they kick a field goal. And then on the next possession, they hit the quarterback, he fumbles, they scoop and score. And then after half, they get a three and out and they fumble the ball on their own 10-yard line on the punt return. They score 31 points in 5 straight possessions. I mean, it's crazy. When you watch it, you heard Coach Brennan, who's a wonderful guy, love their head coach, good buddy of mine. That's a crazy five series deal. I mean, and I told our guy Sunday, Lightning's not going to strike twice. If you think, oh, they lost all those points, this will be an easy one, then you're going to have a rough night. You know, you got to go out there and you're going to have to go earn it. So, you know, again, they're kind of like a wounded animal. They're going to be like we were a couple weeks ago. You know, right. And I think Idaho ran into a buzzsaw because of what we went through.
Absolutely.
And we got to be careful we don't run into that same buzzsaw.
That is correct. And I think UNLV has a chance to make sure that buzzsaw doesn't come back to bite them this week.
Right. And if you look at the numbers, San Jose State, out of all the teams in the country, their defense has been on the field for more plays. They're averaging approximately 88 plays. I mean, and it's just staggering when you think about that.
It is, you know, and, it, you know, everybody does things differently, and there's a lot of really cool things with that, the no huddle, fast pace. But the one thing that it does is if you three and out a bunch, you're going to put your defense on the field really fast and really often. And, you know, part of it is the reason they've played so many snaps, part of it is that. But another part of it is they played the 0-week game and they haven't had a bye. So this is week 6 for them, right? They played more games than anybody in the country. And I think they're going to be the first team ever to play 6 games before September ends in the history of college football.
Wow.
So that's a lot of football early on. So this week 4 for us, 6 for them. So hopefully some of that wear and tear, you know, shows up a little bit, but we're not counting on it.
Right, absolutely. And another contributing factor to the amount of snaps their defense takes, they have put the ball on the ground a lot. You mentioned it about the Utah State game, special teams blunders, and just putting the ball on. I think they had 4 fumbles that they lost last week against Utah State.
17 overall.
And that turnover
fumbles
battle is
and interceptions, yeah.
The turnover battle is a huge part of success in sports, and I think their record kind of shows that, and the defensive snaps kind of show that as well. Obviously something that Rebels are going to try to key on this week coming into the game, right?
100%. I mean, we've talked about it all week. I mean, for us, the biggest difference between week 1 and week 2, there are a lot of things, but one of the main components is turnovers. Lose the turnover battle week 1, lose the game. Win the turnover battle week 2, you win the game. And that holds true for so many teams. There was a stat that came out before we played Ohio State, and the teams that had won the turnover battle that were +1 in college football were like 82-19 after the first 3 weeks of college football. And the teams that were -1 had a combined record of like 27-59 or something like that, right? It's the most important stat in football. So they've turned it over a lot. We need to create some of those. I mean, you know, and if you can do it early and you can kind of get in their craw a little bit about that, you know, hopefully they start thinking about it a little bit. But we're going to have to go out and do a great job of getting strip attempts, you know, getting interceptions, special teams. But if you can win that turnover battle on Saturday, it's going to really give you a great opportunity.
Offensively also, the challenges for San Jose State. They've averaged less than 9 points a game, fewer than 200 yards total offense.
Yeah, you know, and they're trying to find themselves a little bit. Again, it's you know, and we were in that same boat, you know, not too long ago. It's a brand new staff. You know, they're trying to figure out how they want to do this. They're a very aggressive team. And that's another thing that scares you a little bit is they take a lot of shots. And when I say a lot, I'm talking 8, 9, 12 times a game. I mean, they're going to put the ball in the air. So we have to do a really good job of not giving up anything cheap and being careful with those pass interference, because one of the reasons you take a lot of shots in this day and age, it seems like it's a 50-50 pass interference call now. So they're going to take those shots, and we got to make sure that they don't find their rhythm doing that. And then be staunch against the run.
One of the things that they do that we've kind of noticed as we look through their stats and through their season, they are not afraid to play both of their top two quarterbacks, and they play them a lot throughout all of the games this season. Both of them had quality time as taking reps on the field, and they're not afraid to do that. Do you think that kind of disrupts their own rhythm? Are you going to kind of try to prepare the team for both, or do you have an idea of who's going to be the number one guy?
Well, my understanding is Love will be, and they're kind of an interesting situation. They got a kid named Montrell Aaron who's a really good player. We actually were looking. We ended up going with Armani, but he's a really good player. We recruited him, too, I believe out of Antelope Valley. But he was the backup in week one. In week two, they made him the starter. And he did some good things. And the Utah game, he took a real vicious hit to the knee. And don't know the extent of that injury, but he's been sidelined since. So then they ended up going back to Love, you know, and the other guy. And so they were kind of going back and forth. And it's almost like, you know, they weren't sure if they should start the freshman right away against a real good South Florida team.
Right.
It was almost like the plan was week two to start him, you know, get that one out done and then get him going. Unfortunately, and who knows, maybe he is available. We'll find out. You know, right now, everything I'm reading and looking at and we're doing our research, right, it looks like he's not. So then with that next guy, both of them have had opportunities. Both have had some moments and struggled at times, too. So it's tough when you've got that revolving door at quarterback because, you know, you want that guy to know that it's my ball. I don't got to worry about looking over my shoulder. I'm going to get the opportunity to go out there and play. And that's tough to do at times.
Right.
So it's our job to make sure they're thinking about all that stuff on Saturday.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of Rebel defense, so we have our conversation right now with linebacker Bailey Leolagi right here on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show.
Bailey Leolagi, the linebacker, one of the linebackers on the Rebel Defense Corps, is our guest for this segment of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. Bailey, discuss, if you would, first of all, your background in football. I know your dad played football for a couple years at Sacramento State, but what about where did your passion for the game begin?
I mean, basically, when I was younger, I've always had a kind of desire to be in athletics. So when football became an opportunity to me, I just wanted to try it. And then, funny enough, when I first started off, I was playing nose for a little Pop Warner team. But as farther I went down, I actually got taken in as a running back. And then later on, when I started getting into high school, when I played at Folsom High School, Coach Taylor, who's now the offensive coordinator at Utah, he basically pulled me up to varsity as a sophomore, and then the defensive coordinator and him wanted me to both play linebacker and running back. So that's when I kind of just said, like, maybe football's going to be me, and hopefully I can figure out something that can go farther. So that's when it kind of just started, and Coach Sanchez got in touch with me and ended up coming here, and then my career started at UNLV.
Which NFL team is your favorite?
My favorite? If I'm going to do a local one, I'll probably do the 49ers. Yeah. But I mean, as of right now, yeah. I mean, 49ers would probably be the team that I most support.
What about your dad and his influence on you and your game?
Oh, my dad's probably been the biggest influence. He's been a coach and also a great father to me. So, I mean, he's been one that's kind of always helped me, push me in the right direction of where I needed to do, what I needed to work on, basically progress into a collegiate athlete. So he's been there. He's been this, like, played at Sac State for football, so he knew kind of the steps to get there. So, like, when I wanted to go into football, he kind of led me on the right direction to kind of basically be able to become the player I am today. So
Has he helped you a lot with the mental side of things?
Oh, yeah. He kind of, you know, sometimes you just need to take a step back and take a breather. Sometimes you get caught up so much in it that you start just getting it's kind of getting in your own mind. So he just told me that take a step back and just view everything, you know, make sure you go back and see what you did wrong and then correct it, and then make sure you're just not making the same mistakes, which is basically what our coach talks about here is consistency. He wants to see consistency in all the players, so that's the biggest thing.
How did a good program like Folsom help you when you got into the college game?
Oh, just the preparation. Like, our coach really, I mean, he really liked to spend time with the players, but just more like how we prepared was closer to how it is here. Like, it's just basically we're always in the film room doing things that help us prepare for the next game. We're always working on things, whether it's drills or just basically just hanging out with each other and just talking football. So basically it really just helped play over to how it is today here at UNLV.
You have an older brother. Does he play sports or just into sports?
No, even though he has a 6'5", 240 frame, but I mean he just wants to go to ours to be try to study animation and try to work at Disney or Pixar. So he kind of fell out of the sports, but he did play lacrosse and football when he was younger, but kind of just fell more to the art side, and I fell more to the athletic. So
that's wild. He's going to break a lot of coaches' hearts at that size.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big guy. He's kind of the one that always, you know, he's my older brother, so he's the one that always kind of roughed me up when I was younger. So it was beneficial, I guess, in the end.
Bailey Leolagi is our guest as we continue on this segment of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Bailey, what about this team now? They've been through three games plus the off week, and a lot of people are asking about Ohio State, and I have to ask you, in what ways did the Rebels define themselves more or grow in that game against the Buckeyes?
I mean, we just learned a lot. Like, basically, just playing against a high-caliber team like that, we just basically the intensity, the high tempo, and just what we needed to do and to see ourselves be successful for later in our season when going into our league. So basically, it just kind of helped us in basically preparation going into now, and a lot of things we learned from and mistakes that we'd had. It's just basically something we can grow from going in this week.
When you're at practice and you look across the line and there's Armani Rogers, what are the things that he does and that he can do that pose a real challenge?
Yes. We basically have to disguise a lot because he just is able to read and able to adjust to what we're going to be running. So he's really good at just determining what defense we're going about to run. And then on top of that, just if you get him out in space, he could take off running because he's an athletic quarterback. So we just basically just have to play a game where it's just disguise as much as we can, and also just basically try to keep him in the pocket, not let him out, and try running.
What about the upcoming game against San Jose State as conference play begins? What's the mindset of the team going into that?
Basically taking on how we ever had the game. Just they're a great coach team. We got to go into it thinking we have to give our full effort, and basically we have to have our alignment, assignment, and techniques all perfect, dialed down to the wire, and basically go in and have a consistent game of just coming out playing physical.
Bailey, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Bailey Leolagi, our guest, Rebel linebacker, on this edition of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. A whole lot more coming up next, right after this on Learfield.
Welcome back to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road. The Tony Sanchez Radio Show rolls on with the Caleb Herring and yours truly, Russ Langer. Last year, Rebels went to San Jose and lost the game 30-24. The Rebels were down 27-10. They rallied late to make it close. They used a couple of different quarterbacks in that game, but they just fell short at the end.
Yeah, that was a frustrating game. That was kind of the onset of a lot of those injuries occurring. You know, Lexington went down in that game, used a couple of different quarterbacks, and you know, we kind of went in and changed up what we were doing at halftime, you know, to give ourselves a chance. And then we kind of slowly but surely fought back into that game, and you know, had a tough one at the very end. We were driving on that last drive of the game and just kind of had a little overthrow to Price, and they ended up picking the game. But, you know, they've been kind of a thorn in our side 2 years in a row. You know, I mean, I go back and we got a bunch of momentum. You know, we beat Idaho State and you beat Reno, and, you know, you score a great touchdown at the end of the game and they're trying to drive to keep it. You got a 4th-and-10. You make that stop. You got 3 wins in a row going into the Fresno game, and they end up running a ghost screen to the tight end on the backside. He scores a touchdown, and then you end up losing in overtime. So we've talked about that a little bit this week.
That's right, and those are the kind of things that happen in these conference games. Like you said, the urgency, I think, among the teams, both teams, goes up, and San Jose State has been on the winning side when it comes to fighting the Rebels. But this week, what is going to be different, and what is the difference in your messaging to the team to get them ready for this week?
You know, really, the thing that we've talked about all week is, you know, controlling the things that we can control and dominating those things, you know, ball security, you know, establishing the line of scrimmage and being able to run the ball, you know, in crucial situations, you know, defensively, being a more physical, faster team on the field, tackling, getting lined up right, communicating, you know, doing a great job of handling that no huddle. So, again, special teams. We do those things, we get a great opportunity to win a football game.
Just to run it down, San Jose State, again, they played five games now. They lost to USF first game 42-22, beat Cal Poly for their only win thus far, 34-13, went to Texas, always a tall order, shut out 56-0. Then Utah, ranked 24th at the time, beat them 54-16. And last week, as you mentioned, Coach, a 61-10 loss to Utah State.
Well, they've played a lot. They played a hell of a schedule. When you look at their schedule, it really is tough for a team like that to take on a Utah, to take on a Texas, a South Florida. You know, those are three, you know, Texas is a very historic program, and the other two are legitimate top 25 teams, and Utah's playing good football right now. So you got the record, you got to kind of, you know, don't take that. You'll take that with a grain of salt, you know. So we got to do a good job.
Speaking of the records, have you at all gave your team kind of the non-conference to conference?
Oh, yeah, we're 0-0. We're 0-0. I mean, I told them right now, I said, everybody, man, everybody, you know, resets right now. We're 0-0. Our job is to go 1-0 in conference.
Coach, good luck on Saturday. We'll see you before the game.
I appreciate it. Go Rebs.
All right, go Rebs. Caleb, good to see you again, as always.
Good as always. Born and raised. Fantastic chicken taquitos. I recommend them. Great talking with Coach. Good time.
The chicken taquitos get the 5-star award from Mr. Michelin, Caleb Herring. All right, once again, the Rebels at 7:32 exactly will be kickoff against San Jose State. Rebels 1-2 opening up Mountain West Conference play against the San Jose State Spartans, who are 1-4, 0-1 in conference play, and both teams coming off losses. Rebels, of course, at Ohio State, and then San Jose State against Utah State. Hope you join us. Should be a beautiful evening this Saturday at Sam Boyd Stadium. Thanks to everybody here at Born and Raised and the entire production crew. Good night, everybody.
On the Rebel Sports Network, this has been the Tony Sanchez Show. Brought to you by Country Financial. At Country Financial, we know planning for your future can feel overwhelming, but something this important deserves attention. Take simple steps today at countryfinancial.com/simple steps. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebel Sports Network.